Guys, welcome back to the second part of this open forum, which is being organized by Rakshak and 498A.org. I would like to go forward and narrate a small incident that happened in the middle of last year. There was this couple living in Moscow, Russia, and the woman slipped from a high-rise building and fell down and died. The Russian police did all the investigation and found out that this was a result of an accident and she slipped from the building. The guy with his parents brought the body of the girl back to India in Calcutta, and he was arrested on the airport on the charges of dowry death and harassment, which was 498A. The Indian reporters did their job. They mentioned that the guy was harassing the girl for 2 months. This guy was a successful businessman in Moscow. And the Director General of Police in Calcutta was shown on TV to be saying that this was a case of 498A and dowry death. Now, this whole incident happened outside India, which was outside the jurisdiction of Indian police. The jurisdiction was Russian police. They came up with all the findings and said this was a case of accidental death. And Indian police overwrote all that. And the result is this law-abiding citizen went to India for the funeral with for his wife with his parents, was arrested and put in jail. And that is probably one of the very few incidents that has come to light with all the evidences. And that is why few of the NRIs, they fear to go to India to defend themselves in these cases, because they don't know what Indian police may do based on different facts. Somebody else wants to add their story to it?
Yeah, hi Satya, this is Chirag from Bay Area in California. I agree to what you're saying, and you know, I'm one of the cases where I do really, really fear going to India and you know, even represent myself or help my family in these difficult times that we have been facing in the last 3.5 years. Just to give you a little background, me and my family have been a victim of a fabricated false 498A case where my ex-wife had some other past in her life because of which she was disturbed during our relationship, and hence things were not going very smooth in our case. Because of that, she went back to India and stayed with her parents for 8 months, and you know, obviously then there were some disputes that which we could not come to agreement because of her past. And so finally I decided to file a divorce case here, and as soon as I served her with papers and the divorce was filed here, her family went ahead and filed a false 498A case against me, my father, sister and brother. As a result of that, it's been 3.5 years. The police was probably bribed. This was in southern India, so the police was probably bribed by the brides, the women's side, and they did not even care about trying to find out, what was going on, and they just wanted to arrest me and my family. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but they just did whatever they wanted to do in terms of charge sheet. It's been 3.5 years that we are just sitting. No one wants to do anything about it. And also, they were influential enough that they used the police connections to send letters to the Ministry of External Affairs to get, my father and my sister's passports impounded without any charges, convicted against us or whatever in the legal terms it is called. The case is still pending. We had the stay order from the High Court on any proceedings on the lower courts. The quash matter was still going on in the Madras High Court. And even with all these facts, the Ministry of External Affairs did not think about the severity of the case, and they went ahead and decided to impound my family's passports. This is an example of how what a bureaucratic government we have in India, and you know what they have in their mind and what do they think, what is logical and illogical. This is the reason why I don't think as an NRI I really have a lot of faith in some people who are you know, having responsible positions. We have my sister who got married later on is suffering because of this. So this is a true example where the 498A or the domestic violence or whatever you want to call has not helped really repair our relationship. But the day this case was filed, all the possibilities of reconciliations were broken. And on the other side, my sister who is now married, she cannot travel abroad and go and join her husband who works in UK. As a result of that, her family life is also being affected by this, and there's nothing happening in the case. The legal system is just as it is. What's it called in India? You have to, you know, I think me and my family probably will be suffering for the next coming years because of this impotent law that we have in place. So I think this is what I wanted to share today and pass on my message to the government of India, that if this is what they really wanted to achieve by putting such a law in place, then they should really have a serious second thought on it.
And also,
how much are they asking you?
I'm sorry?
How much are they asking you to settle the issue?
They're talking actually in tens of lakhs of rupees. I don't want to disclose a number because it's a very huge number, but they know the fact that, giving you a little background, my father himself, he has been a social worker since last 30 years. He holds a very respectable position in, our society or our community in the town where I stay. So considering all those facts and realizing the fact that, I've been here in this country for the past 8 years. And by the way, giving a little background about myself, I came here, with a master's. I have scholarships that I had from the past, and, all the legal system in India wants to ignore all the fact and do a background check on me or my family, and they just decided to, basically let affect our family. Coming back to your amount thing, it's actually we have tried to settle it outside the court, giving them money, but the clear they know that all the roads are in their hands, so they have a very big number in tens of lakhs of rupees on table to settle the case, and they know that all the ropes are for them, are with them, so they are going to be the one controlling the whole situation unless and until if the law wants to do something about it.
Also, Chirag, did you have any problems with your visa or anything?
Yeah, so basically, the other party and their family, they are pretty influential people, so they used all their connections to use police and, letters from police going to External Affairs Ministry and the U.S. Consulate in Bombay, so that they could make my and my family's life miserable. Unaware of this whole situation, when I went for my visa renewal to Vancouver, I was stopped at the consulate and not granted a visa for 3 weeks till they did a background check on me, and they wanted to find out what kind of a case is, against me in India. But I'm thankful to the U.S. government and their sensible thinking. They realized that this was just another forged case of 498A for extraction, to extract money and to blackmail some law-abiding citizen. And they granted me the visa to enter into the country again.
Oh, so is there anyone else in the forum who has gone through the same problem of visa being there was a problem in renewal of visa because of these frivolous cases on them?
Hi, I'm Naveen from Florida.
No, I didn't face any problem with the visas. Even after my phone entry case is filed, I traveled to Bahamas a couple of times. My visa extended. So both the times I got my visa extended without any problem. But only problem now I'm facing is for the renewing my passport, which I have to renew it before by April. That's when it's going to expire. Next year, 2007 April. But now I'm in a position to decide whether I should go or what should I do, because I'm in notified in the red card notice. So that's where I'm stuck now.
Can you repeat? So, you said something about red corner notice. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, because I have been put on the red corner notice based on the arrest warrant, whatever is there in India with the 498 case. So based on that situation, now I'm in a dilemma whether should I go for renewing for my passport or should I wait for until the case is disclosed, because the case against my parents and other family members has already been dismissed. Only allegations against me is still pending. But also we are proceeding on that one. That also for this.
Okay.
So that's the problem facing. Personally, I didn't face any problem in visa. But this year, if I go to some other country for visa stamping, I may face some problem because of this red corner notice.
Okay, so you're saying that Indian government is issuing red corner notice on this domestic disparity and marital disputes?
Yes, that's what happened. So even the Indian government, when this girl filed the case, whoever reported to the Interpol or whatever it is, they never, they didn't even try to find out the validity of the allegations, at least before putting it into the red corner notice. Because the girl filed the case, she filed the case and then flew back to U.S. and she's staying in U.S., living happily, working on her own, all those things. Then what is the point of putting the boy on the red corner notice when the girl who put those allegations is not even available for the court to give her statements, whatever she put on the case? She never appeared in the case, in the court. So it's completely blindly, Indian government just blindly received this notice from somebody, whether the local cops or whoever it is, just received the notice, okay, there is a 498 case against this guy, okay, put it under red corner, no, Interpol. That's all they did. No investigation, nothing.
Has Interpol contacted you at all?
No, I haven't been contacted by anybody till now.
Okay.
I don't know when did it first it been published on the Interpol, but I came to know about this one, I think, in March or April 2006, I guess. That's the first time I came to know about that I have been there in the list. But I don't know, even before also, how long before it was lying there.
Okay. So,
even if we count that also, April is all eight or nine months, but as of now, nobody contacted me.
Okay. Okay, so there is this another person, Raju from I think California, who mentioned that he had some problems when he went to get his visa. Raju, would you like to explain whatever happened with you?
Yes, I am on the call. I'm Raju from California. A couple of weeks back, I went to Tijuana, Mexico, to stamp my visa, and I was stuck there for more than a week. And normally it takes a day for other folks, but for me it took more than a week. And visa officer was kind enough, and she did all kind of background check on me. And after doing that, she said that I'm clean and I can go. But I think this happened because there is a 498A case against me in India. And that's the reason why I was held in another country for more than a week. So, really speaking, and then after coming over here in U.S., I spoke to local police department as well. And first of all, the police was laughing at this matter and said, this is between husband and wife and they should not go anywhere else and there should not be any criminal case. And my wife had contacted this local police department and he looked at the case and he immediately said there is no crime done here. So this is just a marital dispute, and he was really laughing at Indian law, and I told him about the red corner notices, and that also he laughed, and he said that you guys are not terrorists. You are working here for more than 6 years, and you guys are working hard here, and you guys should not be treated like this. So really speaking, Indian government should do something about this 498A cases.
And these notorious red corner notices. We have a news article that appeared in Deccan Chronicle on 23rd of October saying that Hyderabad police, the title of the article says Interpol aids Andhra Pradesh husband hunt, giving a false impression of the issue at hand. The author of the article labels husbands who have been only accused of harassing their wives as crooked hubbies. This article quotes CID Deputy Inspector General S. Umapati saying, once the red corner notices are issued, the non-resident Indian quickly patches up with his in-laws. So this statement itself is an indication of the flagrant misuse of the most serious instrument of Interpol for blackmail and extortion of husbands in petty marital disputes, disguised as criminal cases. Umapati also stated, even if one such NRI husband was brought back to face trial, it would send a strong message. The fact of the matter is that all falsely accused overseas Indians would gladly face trial to prove their innocence if the fair and speedy trial is made possible. The statements made by the law enforcement officials and media are based on mere allegations of the wife, but are not the result of a factual investigation. And Reddy from California, you want to add something which happened to you just now?
Yeah, it happened recently. My wife went back to India a year back. We had a fight about her extramarital affair, and she went with my kid to India. I went back to talk to her parents and to stay together and to get back her here with my kid. And as soon as I arrived in India, she filed a false 498 case on myself and my parents. I came back here immediately, and the case is going on. My parents got bail now.
Okay. So are they asked, what is their demand? They want to come back together and using 498A as the harassment or extortion tool, or?
I didn't force anything, any dowry harassment or anything. I didn't ask for anything.
Right. So
and they want to settle down, and now she wants to come. Otherwise, they want to settle down with a large amount of money.
Okay. Go ahead.
They are asking about like 2 crores of rupees to settle down the case and to give divorce.
Oh, that's a huge amount.
Yeah.
2 crores.
Oh my God.
Please, Satya.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please don't mention the amount in the call, because what can happen is even.
So recently, about a year back, there was a judgment by Supreme Court of India mentioning that taking the cognizance of a large-scale misuse of this really important law that was made to protect women, and they are using it as a harassment and extortion tool. The Supreme Court of India, for the first time in its history, has mentioned that the misuse of this law can unleash legal terrorism. Also, shortly after that judgment, Council for Social Research did a study or a survey and found that 98% of the cases are found false during trial, and only 2% of the cases were found that the person charged was guilty. So we can safely say that for all the ignominy and all the legal battle the parties go through, they know that 98 out of 100 people would go scot-free but they have to undergo all these problems. Now, not only that. Yeah, go ahead.
Satya, I want to add something. So even when this percentage is 90% is being misused, based on, it is just the number of the cases. But when you count on each individual case, just to this lie is to protect one woman, whoever is being faced, harassed by her family or whoever it is, just for one woman. But when the case is proved as a false case, how many other women and other human beings are being harassed in each single case? Sorry, when you said the total case is 90%, and each one in those 98%, each 1%, there are minimum 2 or 3 women in that case who are going through all these hassles throughout this period until the case is closed.
That's right. And
so
also,
even just say settle with the 98%, it is more than I can't even count how much it's going to be.
Yeah, we have the statistics that out of 58,000 such cases filed in year 2005, they found that 40% or 45% were false right on the first information. They found they were false, okay, but this was used as an extortion and negotiation tool. A lot of the people who come to us have mentioned the pattern is, one, the woman does not want to live with the in-laws. She is basically forcing the husband to move out of the house and live somewhere else, do not mingle, support their parents. The second most reason they have been filing frivolous case is her expectation is totally different, and she wants to do some of the things which are not regarded right in terms of husband's eyes. And there are arguments day in and day out, and she says, okay, I have this this law at my disposal, which I certainly cannot use in India, in the US or in UK, but I can definitely use this law in India. And since you are a Indian citizen, that applies to you and your whole family. And in few of the cases that have come to light, the woman did not even have to go to India. They were her parents actually filed the false 498A case in India and have actually tried to extort huge amount of money, or trying to force the husband to succumb to the pressure and listen to whatever wife has to say. I think there is a Dhirendra from New York, New Jersey area who actually went such kind of a harassment. Dhirendra?
Right. Hi. So yeah, in my case, I'm in US for like 8 years. I met my wife here. Ours was a love marriage. My parents live in India. Both my parents and my in-laws, they live in India, and we got actually married here. And then things did not work out. My wife used to fight a lot. We actually used to get physical. We had to call police a couple of times. So in the end, when she did not go for any therapy, I had no recourse but to file for divorce here. As soon as I filed for divorce here, she filed 498A in India, and then she filed this new domestic violence.
Dhirendra, it's not
right.
Her, it's her parents who filed. She
right,
was
right,
still here, right?
Right, right. It's her parents. Yeah, actually 498, her parents filed. And the domestic violence, her parents filed, but they filed it on her behalf.
Yeah.
So
basically,
right.
She did not have to even leave the United States.
Right, right. So she's staying here in U.S. So my parents were actually arrested, and my parents and my in-laws, actually they live in different states, far apart. So I think it's total mockery of justice from any standard. Me and my wife, ours was not an arranged marriage. We met here, we got married here. Actually, in our marriage, we got married in court and everything. Then we went to India and did religious ceremony. So obviously, there is no question of any dowry or anything at all. And from jurisdiction point of view, both of us had our own green cards before we got married. and we are living here, we are still living here, and you know, our parents live in different cities and states in India. And after that, they were able to file the case, and like my parents were arrested, and right now they're out, and the case is proceeding in India, but...
Yeah, we understand what you're going through. I would like to mention other people on the forum is there were representatives of Rakshak who had gone and met personally few times with the Counselor General of India at San Francisco. He is basically the representative of India in a foreign land. He is well aware of this misuse. His office actually did send communication to the Ministry of Overseas Indian Affairs, who are responsible for the NRI affairs, about this large-scale misuse and advised them to take some steps in it. Now, there were two different groups who had met the Overseas Indian Affairs Vela Ravi. One was in June of this year in Los Angeles, California. And the other one was the Forgotten Woman people, who actually met Vela Ravi in New York. So Vela Ravi, the Minister for Overseas Indian Affairs, is well aware of this misuse. But for some odd reason, this minister has not helped any one of us and has gone on with collaboration with National Commission for Women and has done more damage to the whole NRI community than anyone has done before. Some of you might be aware of this advisory booklet the Ministry of Overseas Indian Affairs has come out with in this year, which mentions and labels all the NRI husbands and their families as the criminals and wife beaters and woman abusers. If any sane person would read that booklet, and it is on the website, if any one of you read that booklet with an open mind, you would see how biased the ministry is, how clueless they are about what is happening to the NRI husbands and families, and how outrageous the allegations they have put in that marriage booklet. And the issue is very serious, and it was brought out to the notice of the ministry and the minister himself, and this minister has not taken any action against it, and it is to our total frustration and that they are organizing Pravasi Bharati Divas on 7th to 9th of January, and they are not taking cognizance of all these very, very important social issues that the NRI husbands and their families are going through. They have put in one session, which is again for woman empowerment. They collude and they collaborate, MOIA collaborate with NCW, and NCW, the National Commission for Women, are advancing with their agenda, and they are giving all the false statistics, whatever, and making sure that all the laws are in the favor of women wherever, whatever they are doing in any part of the world, and with the help of all these lopsided, arrogant, stupid Indian laws like 498A and Domestic Violence Against Women Act. Any one of you would like to add anything more to that before we close the forum?
Hi, this is Bhaskar. I just wanted to add my experience regarding the passport impounding and the problem that associated with it. In my case, I got married in India and we were living here, and then we had a difference of opinion, differences cropped up, and she left here and I asked her to come back, she did not, and then I filed for a divorce. And even I made all the arrangements for her to come here and reconcile or else attend the proceedings. I got ex parte divorce. And after 2 years after the divorce and everything, I went to India, and I didn't even know at that point of the time regarding 498A. And I had to, I have been arrested, and even my passport was taken. Later I got my passport back, and now currently the case is going on. And my experience with the law and the 498A is a difficult one, and I don't really see any reason how it can be so biased, like to protect just one woman and so many of the opposite person's family has to suffer. So that is my experience.
And also, I would say almost everyone on this forum would agree that Indian judiciary should ask for evidence from the woman who is filing any of these cases in India, is what sort of judicial help or legal help she tried to obtain in the country where her husband is. Like, did she try to report this matter to any legal authority in the country her husband is living? So if a woman goes from the US to India to file any such cases, she should show some sort of a proof that she tried to obtain help from the police or the jurisdiction she was in, and she was not able to obtain any of that help. And as the last resort, she's trying to take help of Indian police and judicial system. Any comments on that?
And I think in my personal experience and also the experiences that I have came to know about, it is just the system. The system is so corrupt. All it takes is a complaint, and everything works like an automated machinery. So all she needs to do is a complaint and walk away, and everybody else springs into the action, like the police and judiciary and... So many other people are now has to face the music. It's like, you know, they have to suffer a lot. This is totally absurd. Like, I completely disagree with it, and it is, I think it's a human rights violation, in my opinion.
Yeah, it totally is a human rights violation, in which, in order to protect a person, you are taking away the basic human rights of the other person.
Can I interrupt in between, Satya?
Sure.
Yeah, hi. This is Raghavendra here again. One of the things which I really know for sure is, you know, when my when the dispute happened between me and my wife, she basically went from my house, and I know it for sure that basically she approached someone to, because she was in an impression that the British police is as same as like Indian police. And she was heavily mistaken in that case. And she approached someone that if she can file some kind of complaint against me. But the mediator who was there in between, I don't know, because I just know from, you know, very high level that she approached someone. And the mediator then said to her very clearly that do not, you know, do such kind of thing in UK, because the police are going to super cross-question you if you try and raise finger on any other person. Because either you have a proof or a evidence. If not, then, you know, just go and gather the proof and evidence. Because nothing, you cannot walk into a police station. That's not a McDonald's burger shop. That you walk into the police station, you order something, and you get it. You have to have some kind of proof, at least. I mean, this is how the judiciary system works. You cannot stand up on one fine day and put up any kind of blame or, you know, you cannot accuse someone of anything. So once she realized that, oh, so this is the thing, then she ran away from there. I mean, you know, she never complained anything. And this is my biggest dilemma, and this is my biggest confusion, that why, I mean, you know, why the Indian government tries to think all the time that, you know, do they think that they are the most kind of super police force in the world? And are they trying to undermine the other police forces? I mean, they can simply say to the girl that, okay, you know what, you were in London and you could have simply approached the British police for it. But
definitely,
they never do it, because they know that at the end of the day, everyone is interested in only one person, only one purpose, which is the extortion of money. Whether left or right, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and actually I totally agree with you, Raghavendra, and the time is running out, so we have to close the forum, but I would say towards the end that I think everyone in the forum is really frustrated and angry about what Indian government is up to. First, basically Indian government would like to have money from all the NRIs one way or the other. The polite way for getting the money from NRIs is to lure them to invest money in the projects in India. And the arrogant way of getting the money is to use the extortion tool by the judiciary as well as the legal system, and force them to extort money by putting all these kind of frivolous cases on them. Now, Indian government is free. It is the Indian bureaucracy and the government is well known for its corruption all over the world. They are free to make any laws they want, and even if these law actually violate the basic human rights like right of living or to defend themselves, one of the most basic law of any legal framework in any country is a person is assumed to be innocent until proven guilty, and 498A and domestic violence law, it is being shown that the girl is true in whatever she is saying, and the guy is held guilty along with his own whole family as guilty without until it is he is proven innocent. So that is totally wrong. Indian government can make whatever law they want, but they should take into cognizance that these laws are actually troubling the NRIs widespread all over the world in this global economy. With these kind of stupid and senseless laws in place, Indian government is actually putting millions and millions of lives at stake. If a law is such a stupid law that you mere statement of a person, you would actually arrest the whole family and put them in jail, then who in the world would not misuse that law? So with that, this NRI forum for today would close down, and I hope people who are listening to this recording would question and come to their senses and ask the Indian government to change some of the provisions in this law. We all are hardworking, innocent individuals, and we all we respect women. We have mothers and sisters. We would not do anything bad to a woman, but we have been labeled as abusers, harassers, and wife beaters by Ministry of Overseas Indian Affairs and Indian government, and we would not sit quietly for that. Thank you all for joining in this forum. The recording of this would be available on 498a.org, and we will meet again within a week. Thank you all.